to John's Gospel and chapter 5. And we're looking at the section that runs from verse 19 through to the end of the chapter. All through these verses, the Lord Jesus is speaking. And he is speaking about himself. The Lord Jesus makes the most astonishing claims about himself. He talks about who he is. He calls himself God's Son, making himself equal with God. That's verse 18. He speaks about his relationship with the Father. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. That's verses 19 and 20. And the Lord Jesus speaks about his own unlimited authority. And that's the theme of verses 21 to 30. The Lord Jesus here claims to have absolute authority. The Lord Jesus claims that he has the authority and the power to do things that only God can do. Now, we saw last week that there are two things especially that the Lord Jesus claims here that he has authority to do. Firstly, the Lord Jesus gives life to the dead. Verse 21, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. And then secondly, the Lord Jesus is the one who passes judgment on every human being. Verse 22, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. There are the two great claims to authority that the Lord Jesus Christ makes. Now, again, I don't want you to miss the astonishing nature of what the Lord Jesus says here. It would be very easy for us to sit back and say, well, oh yes, very nice, very nice. Well, yes, well, he would say that, wouldn't he? We can read these words, and they don't shock us. We're so familiar with this picture. And yet these words of the Lord Jesus Christ were shocking. The people who heard the Lord Jesus Christ say these things thought that these were the most blasphemous, the most disgusting words they had ever heard. Jesus is saying that he does the things that only God can do. He says, we've read it already, verse 21, I, the Son, I give life to whoever I want to give it to. I give life to whomever I decide. But only God can give life. And yet Jesus stands there quite calmly and says, I give life to dead men and women if I choose to. I have the fate of every man, woman and child in the world in my hands. I can give them life if it pleases me to do so. Or I can leave them in the power of death if I choose to do that. And not only that, I am also the judge. I alone am the judge of human beings. The Father has entrusted all judgment to me. The Father has given me authority to judge. That's what he says in verse 27. I can acquit or I can condemn any man, woman, or child on this planet. That is what the Lord Jesus says. And he really means it. The Lord Jesus is saying that he and he alone will settle your destiny. He is saying that he will be your judge. That he will decide whether you go to heaven or to hell. That decision is in his hands. We've all got our own opinion of ourselves, haven't we? We judge ourselves. We judge our own character, our own performance. Well, I don't claim to be perfect, but I think I'm doing reasonably well. I try my best. I'm a caring person. We all think that we can judge ourselves. And the Lord Jesus speaks, and he says, it doesn't matter what your judgment of yourself is. I am the judge. It doesn't matter what your friends judge you to be, or whether you meet society's standards. I am the one who's going to decide whether you've met my standard. The Father has entrusted all judgment to me. That is the claim that the Lord Jesus Christ makes. Now just take in the hugeness of what the Lord Jesus claims. He will judge naked tribesmen from the South American jungles. And he will judge cool businessmen in executive suits. He will judge peasants, and he will judge presidents. He and he alone will examine each one. He'll measure them. He'll assess them by his standard. He'll assess each one individually, and he'll decide. He'll acquit them, or he'll condemn them. And there'll be no court of appeal from his verdict. The Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son. The Lord Jesus is claiming to be the judge for all people in all places at all times. We see these pictures, don't we, of cavemen from the prehistoric past, painting their pictures on the walls of their caves. The Lord Jesus will judge them. And we think of the space age urban dwellers of our generation, or maybe of generations to come. And the Lord Jesus will judge them. He claims to have the wisdom, the insight, the authority to judge every man, every woman, every child from all the generations of history, and to settle their destiny forever. That's his claim. That's what he says here. And yet, who is speaking? Who's making this claim? A man who, until a few months earlier, was working as a carpenter. A peasant who's never travelled more than 100 miles from his own home. This man stands there and says calmly, I am God's son, and I shall judge the whole world. I have the authority to do it. And as we've said so many times before, when a man makes that sort of claim, when a carpenter says that about himself, there are only two possibilities. He is either a deluded fool living in a megalomaniac dream, or he is telling the truth. And you will have to make up your mind. You will have to judge. But remember this, that the verdict you pass on the Lord Jesus will settle the verdict that he will pass on you. The people who knew Jesus best, those who lived side by side with him for 3 years, the people who lived with him and ate with him and watched him day by day, those people believed him. They were sure. They looked at this carpenter and they said, yes, he is what he claims to be. He is God's only son. He does give life to whom he is pleased to give it. And yes, he will judge the world. He's going to be my judge one day. Every one of the disciples came to that clear conviction. This man is going to speak the words that opened heaven to me, or he's going to speak the words that condemn me to hell forever. And I believe it too. For nearly 40 years now, I've been looking at this man Jesus. I've been studying these records. I've been examining every detail we know of this man and of his life and of his words, of his deeds. And at the end of it all, I find myself saying, as the disciples said, yes, I believe this man. Yes, this carpenter from Nazareth, my whole eternal destiny hangs on him. He alone can give me eternal life. He alone will judge me. One day I'm going to stand before him. One day I'm going to hear his voice, either calling me into everlasting joy or driving me into darkness and torment forever. Jesus alone, Jesus the Son of God, gives life to the dead. Jesus alone judges men and women. That is what he claims. Now, there was a sense in which the Lord Jesus was doing these things, even while he was here on earth. Jesus was bringing men and women who were spiritually dead back from the dead. He was giving divine life, eternal life to their souls. And even here on earth, the Lord Jesus was judging men and women. He was setting men and women free from condemnation, those who believed in him. And he was pronouncing God's wrath upon those who would not receive him. The work of Jesus in giving life, the work of Jesus in passing judgment was already happening, even while Jesus was here on earth. We thought last week about that dimension of the work of Jesus. But in verses 28 to 30, the Lord Jesus is looking beyond this world. He is looking to the very end of history. This world is going to come to an end. There is going to be a last generation of human beings born on earth. And there is going to come a day when time will end. The whole story of the human race on this earth will be finished. And it is Jesus Christ, that carpenter from Nazareth who is going to bring the story to its end. Do not be amazed, he says. This is the beginning of verse 28. Yes, while he was here on earth, he did wonderful, amazing things. But don't be amazed by those things, he says to his hearers. For a time is coming when you will see far more amazing things. A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. You see how here the Lord Jesus brings together the two parts of what he's been talking about. He will raise the dead, and he will act as judge. He will personally awaken all the dead. It will be his voice that will drag them from their graves. And they will rise from the grave to be judged. To be judged by him. To enjoy eternal life. Or to be condemned. To be condemned to eternal and hopeless misery. Now there are five things the Lord Jesus teaches us here about this final judgment when he comes again, when he judges the world at the end of time. Five things we must note this morning. Firstly, this judgment is universal. Every man, woman, child who has ever lived, who has ever died, every one of them will be summoned from their graves to be judged. A time is coming, says Jesus, when all who are in their graves will hear his voice. It's not limited, of course, simply to those who have been buried. At the time, yes, when Jesus was speaking in that part of the world, all those who died were buried, usually in tombs. Later on, down in the catacombs, carved out of the rock. The word translated graves here really means tombs. But in other parts of the world, people are cremated. There are people who have been buried at sea. There are people who have been eaten by wild beasts. Jesus isn't only talking about those who have literally been buried. He is simply saying all the dead will rise. They will be summoned inescapably. What a day that will be. When the Lord Jesus comes again and his voice will ring out like a thunderclap across the world, and everyone who lies in the grave will hear that voice. They will not be able to shut it out. People now can refuse to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. They can say, I don't want to hear this. But on that day, his voice will be irresistible. It will be inescapable. We can't imagine the scene, can we? The sobbing multitudes standing before their judge. They've been called from the grave to meet him. He's summoned them to appear, and they have to be present. They are all there. The great men of history are there. And there's nothing great about them now. They are simply helpless sinners trembling before the Lord of glory. They know that he can crush them in a moment if he chooses. And the unknown people of the world are there. None of them have been overlooked. None of them are so small and insignificant that he has forgotten to awaken them. Every one of them has been summoned here by the voice of the Son of God. Children who died unnoticed by the world, whose graves were never marked, they are there. men and women from every century of history, from every country, men and women from every religion, and people who called themselves atheists and said they had no religion. They are all there. And they are there for one purpose. They are there to hear what Jesus Christ is going to say. They are there to be judged by Him. And you will be there. And there will be a moment when it will be your turn to stand before Jesus Christ and to hear His verdict on you. It will happen. There is simply no way of escaping that moment. The day is fixed. The moment is fixed. It will come. That is the first thing. Judgment is universal. The second truth we see here, judgment is in the body. Jesus talks here about the body being raised, about people rising from the grave. Every man or woman is going to be brought back from the dead in the body to face Jesus Christ. Again, I can't imagine this. There are questions I can't answer here. Well, what will those bodies be like? Will it be the body as it was a moment before death? Well, we're not told the answer to those questions. What is clear is this, that this judgment Jesus speaks about is not just some vague spiritual assessment. It is in the body. You have used your body. And now you have to face your judge in that body. You have to give account of the way you lived your life in the body. You thought your body was your own, that you had the right to use it as you chose. So your feet took you where you wanted to go, and your hands did the things you wanted to do, and your lips were used to talk about the things you wanted to talk about. And now Jesus Christ says to you, no, your body is not your own. And you will no longer use it as you choose. I have summoned your body from the grave to stand before me. You used your feet to walk where you wanted to walk. But now your feet stand in my presence. You used your ears to listen to the things you wanted to listen to. But now your ears will hear what I want you to hear. The time is over when you can make decisions for yourself, for what you will do with your body. Now the time has come for me to make my decision. You will be raised in the body, and you will be judged in the body. And in the body you will go into eternity to face your everlasting destiny. It is not only the soul, it is the body that will enjoy everlasting delight in heaven. And it is not only the soul, it is the body that will be tormented in hell. Jesus said in another passage, fear not him who can ruin only the body, but fear God, the one who can ruin body and soul in hell. Never forget it. Hell is a place of bodily agonies as well as spiritual torments. Human beings will be raised from the dead in the body to face the consequences of the life that they have lived in the body. Thirdly, the Lord Jesus tells us here that this judgment will be based on the things we have done. It is very plain, verse 29. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. And this is the teaching of the whole Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Now, evangelical Christians, such as ourselves, have at times shied away from this plain teaching of the Word of God. You hear Christians say sometimes, but salvation is of faith alone. And that is true. But these passages still teach plainly that judgment is on the basis of our works. On the day of judgment, we will be judged according to what we have done. There could be many people who would say, but I had faith. But how is that faith to be tested? How will Jesus Christ the judge assess whether our faith was real? And the answer is, he will test it by our works. Did our faith produce real love for God? Did it produce a real life of holiness and self-denial and obedience? Everywhere in the Bible we're told the same thing. A faith that does not produce a life of detailed, loving obedience to God is not real faith. It is dead. And so on that day of judgment, the books will be opened. And every detail of your life will be there in those books. And every detail will be examined. Your actions, your motives, your words, your thoughts, it will all be brought out into the open. There will be no secrets then. The things you've done in secret will be out in the open then. Have you sinned in secret? Well, your sins will be secret no longer. Have you prayed in secret? Then your prayers, those secret prayers, will be brought out before the eye of the judge. It is all there. Every detail of your life. And that man, Jesus Christ, the man who is God, will be searching through every detail. And the question will be this. Is there evidence here that this man, this woman, this child loved God? That they lived a life seeking to please God? That they cared about God more than anything else? That God was more important to them than anything and everything else in all the world? You see, it says here, those who have done good will rise to live. But according to the Bible, no action is truly good unless it is done out of true love for God. A person may have lived a perfectly respectable life, may have been moral and done works of charity and kindness, and yet in God's eyes, that life has been utterly evil, because in all of this they have not loved him. In all of this they've not aimed at his glory. All the secrets of our hearts, not just our outward actions, but our inner motives, are going to be made plain on that day. It may be that some of you congratulate yourselves now that you're living good, upright, blameless lives. But that day will expose the truth that you never loved God. that you had never experienced the power of God's Spirit in your heart, that you had never been joined by faith to Jesus Christ. And all your goodness will be shown up for what it is, a respectable facade. The judge will know. Jesus Christ will see to the bottom of your heart. And there may be others of you who talk very much now about loving God. You profess to be Christians. And yet on that day, when the books are opened, it will be found that there was no life of daily holiness. There was no secret prayer. There was no self-denial. There was no resisting temptation. There was no aiming for God's glory each day. And on that day, your talk about loving God will be shown up for what it was, just talk, sentimental talk, or worse, hypocrisy. On that day, the truth about us will be known. We will be judged according to all that we have done. And then fourthly, Jesus teaches us that that judgment can only have two outcomes: everlasting life or final who rise to live, and there are those who rise to be condemned. No halfway house, no purgatory, no possibility of being in some sort of intermediate class, not yet ready for heaven, but of course not condemned to hell either. No, on that day the division is absolute. It is final. From this moment on, some are going to live and some are going to be condemned. Those two words sum it all up. Condemned. Those who have never loved God, those who have lived for themselves or their families or their pleasures, those who have not lived lives of detailed holiness, Jesus has only one word for them. It is final. It is irrevocable. Condemned. Guilty. Rejected, fit only to be cast out from God's presence into the darkness outside. It is final. There is no court of appeal. How could there be? This judge makes no mistakes. This judge speaks with all God's authority, and he has spoken, condemned. The last chance has gone. It is too late now. The judge has pronounced his verdict. Condemned. Condemned forever. But there is another word. To those who have loved God, to those whose hearts have been changed by the power of Jesus, to those who were born again to live lives of holiness, to those who denied themselves and carried a cross daily, to those who truly did good, who lived and died for Jesus Christ, what does the judge have to say to those people? They shall live. Not just they shall exist. Those who are condemned will exist. But these people will live. And what that means in Bible language is these people will share the life of God himself. Jesus says in verse 26, the Father has life in himself. The Father is brimming over with power and energy and joy, with life in itself. He is the source, he's the fountain of life. And Jesus says he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And now Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the great judge, pronounces the verdict over these men and women. They shall live.
The life that flows from God himself shall flow through them and in them forever. They will live. Their bodies, their minds, their souls will be drenched with the life of God himself forever. All the power and beauty and glory and happiness that pours out from the heart of God will pour into them and will pour through them forever. They will be brimful of God himself. They will live.
This life is eternal. Jesus has used this word, that word in verse 24. Eternal life. If we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we taste the beginnings of it here and now. But then from that moment, it will break into the fullness of life. We'll hear the voice of the Son of God saying, life. And all the weariness and all the weakness and all the shame of these bodies will fall away from us in a moment. And in a moment our bodies will be transformed to be like his glorious body, full of life. And our minds will be illuminated with God's wisdom. And our hearts will overflow with God's joy. And we'll step into a new heaven and a new earth, our home forever. We shall live. Only two verdicts. Condemned. Or life. And then finally, and I'm only going to speak two sentences on this. This judgment will be perfectly just. Isn't that what Jesus says? Verse 30. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. You often complain now that people misjudge you, that people don't know the whole story, that people don't understand. There will be no misjudgments then. His judgment is true. Are you ready for that day when you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and when you will hear his verdict? And what will that verdict be? May God speak to our hearts from his holy and infallible word.